Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love, really? Is our sermon today. Well, when we talk about love, now I've talked about this in here before, but there's actually five words in Greek that the Greeks use for love. There's three of them that are important. One is eros, the other one is phileo, and then the last one is agape. Eros, erotic, okay? That's the love word, I mean physical love. Phileo, Philadelphia. What is Philadelphia again? City of brotherly love. And that's what phileo is brotherly love. That's why the city was named that. And then the last one is the one that I think is very important, and that's agape. Agape is unconditional love with sacrifice. So if there's no sacrifice, it's not agape. So you got to give something up with unconditional love. Well, our readings, you know, I was sitting here looking at them today and I thought, what are our readings about? Because they're pretty disjointed. And it's one of those things, you know, I always read through the scripture for the next week, Sunday night, and let it percolate in there. Man, I had trouble coming up with this. Until I started to think, love can also include rejection. You know, because isn't that what they talk about? Is because Jesus loved people, he went out and talked to them, and what happened? He got rejected. You know, I think our clue comes in our 2 Corinthians readings. So keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. I mean, that's a great message, isn't it? Well, then why aren't you getting it? See what I'm getting at? Keep him from getting conceited. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul was known as the ugliest apostle. He was physically not good looking. He had a club foot and walked with a limp. He stuttered. Who's the greatest apostle? Paul. He had all these thorns, but yet he overcame them, didn't he? You know, and that's one of the things when he looks at people and says, well, why don't you get this? Well, because sometimes it takes a few times through something for you to get it. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, if Paul had all these things going against him, he still made it work, didn't he? He boasted of it. He's the one who called himself the ugliest apostle. So what? You know, it just is. For the sake of Christ, then, for Christ's sake, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And Nancy, where are you? You did a great job reading that today, by the way. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when you're filled with Christ, there's no weakness, is there? Okay? Because the weakness is strength. Paul asked Jesus to take it away from him three times. You know, Lord, I'm not worthy. You know, please don't make me do this. My power is made in weaknesses, and Paul boasts of his weaknesses. Now, did Jesus excel in his rejection? Because where did he pay for that rejection? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. So without that rejection, the love coming from God, there would be no cross. So did God love the people? Yep. Did the people love God? No. Some of them did, but not everyone. Okay. So what kind of love is that? That's the agape. Okay. It's love unconditionally with sacrifice. So the rejection is a sacrifice, isn't it? Think about that for a second. That's what really struck me this week. So why was God forced into this? Well, we've talked, in fact, my sermon last week was that God had the first covenant and Jesus was the second covenant, right? So last week we know that God fulfilled the first covenant. Had to. Why? Because God said it was going to be that way, so it had to be that way. So there's no forgiveness without what? Blood sacrifice. So who did he give? His son. Actually, God gave himself, because remember, in the Trinity, each one is equal, and each one has all the powers of the other one. So God sent himself down to die on the cross. The greatest sacrifice there could be. So, could rejection be that important part of love? Yeah, I think so. By the readings, we saw Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. You know, he grew up there. You know? Well, you grew up in our neighborhood. You know, we played with you. You're no prophet. You know, what are you opening your mouth for? Have we heard people say things like that to us? Sure, we all have. You know, what's the definition of an expert? Somebody who comes from 50 miles away. Right? Okay. You know, and it's... Jesus was rejected because he wasn't fancy enough. Well, if you're the king, where's your kingdom? Where's your chariot? Where's all his stuff? Doesn't need it. Because in weakness, he is strong. You know, that's a good lesson for all of us. I've talked about this before, about my definition of love. And I've preached on it in here. Anybody remember it? I hope. When somebody else's happiness is more important to you than your own. Now stop and think about that. Is that agape? Sure it is. Okay? Because you're giving up something. You know, there's sacrifice somewhere for that happiness. And I think that's important. Okay? God wanted us to be happy. So what did he give up? A part of himself. Right? So that we could gain from it. You know, there's another Bible passage. No greater love has a man except to lay down his life for his friends. Okay, we were just talking earlier about the Thai SEAL who died trying to save these kids. That's a human thing. How many times have you seen a newspaper? Three die looking for the hiker lost in the world, in the woods. Okay? Look at all the first responders in New York City on September 1st. 911. But you see what I'm getting at? They went. You think that they would turn around and go back if they knew what was coming? Yes, well, I mean, yeah. Some of them. But some of them would go in and try and save as many people as they could. You know? Love's important for us, too. And I do think love opens doors and windows. Pope John the 23rd. When God closes a door, he opens a window. You know, I don't care where the wisdom comes from. You know, I've mentioned Saint Teresa in here too. You know, pray always, sometimes even use words. You know, the truth comes from everywhere. Now, you know, I do a lot of reading, okay? And as I was reading this week, I had already decided what I'm going to preach on. Saint Basil the Great. There's an area in Turkey called Cappadocia. Okay, you might have seen it on the History Channel. It's an underground city where some things are built in walls. There was, you know, churches underneath the ground, things like that. It's got room for about 20,000 people. It was a Christian city. Okay? And we have what we call the Cappadocian Fathers. And the reason that these Christians were in these cities is because there was a heresy going on, and I've talked about the heresies, downplaying Jesus. And the people there said, no, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so they had to protect because, you know, by the sword point, well, no, you're going to believe this or we're going to cut off your head. Okay? Christians are always nice, aren't they? But St. Basil lived from 330 to 379. And I read a lot of the early church fathers. Why? not only the history of the church, but I think their thoughts are clear. There's clarity there. Because they're a lot closer to Jesus than we are. You know, and when you do this, I think it's something that's really interesting. Now, I'd like you to read part of St. Basil's sermon on rejection, weakness, and the fulfillment of divine love. And it's called The Spark of Divine Love Within You. The love of God is not something that can be taught. We did not learn from someone else how to rejoice in life or want to live or to love our parents or guardians. It's the same, perhaps even more so, with our love for God. It does not come from another's teaching. As soon as a living creature, and that's us, comes to be, a power of reason is implanted in us, and it's like a seed, containing with it the ability and the need to love. When the school of God's law admits this power of reason, it cultivates it diligently, skillfully nurtures it, and with God's help, brings it to perfection. For this reason, as by God's gift, I find you with the zeal necessary to attain this end. And you, on your part, help me with your prayers. I will try to fan into flame the spark of divine love that is hidden within you, as far as I am able through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, let me say that we have already received from God the ability to fulfill all his commands. We have then no reason to resent them, as if something beyond our capacity were being asked of us. We have no reason either to be angry, as if we had to pay back more than we had received. But when we use this ability in a right and fitting way, we lead a life of virtue and holiness, but if we misuse it, we fall into sin. So this is the definition of sin, the misuse of powers given to us by God for doing good, a use contrary to God's commandments. But on the other hand, the virtue that God asks of us is the use of the same powers based on a good conscience in accordance with God's command. Well, since this is so, we may say the same about love. Since we received a command to love God, we possess from the first moment our existence an innate power and ability to love. And the proof of this is not to be sought outside ourselves, but each one can learn this from himself and in himself. So it's natural for us to want things that are good and pleasing to the eye, even though at first different things seem beautiful and good to different people. But in the same way, we love what is related to us or near to us, though we have not been taught to do so, and we spontaneously feel well disposed to all our benefactors. What I ask is more wonderful than the beauty of God? What thought is more pleasing and satisfying than God's majesties? What desire is as urgent and overpowering as the desire implanted by God in a soul that is completely purified of sin and cries out in its love, "I am wounded in love"? So the radiance of the divine beauty is altogether beyond the power of words to describe. Now, folks, that's a sermon from 370 A.D. Is it as valid today as it was in 370? It is. Do you see why I read the Church Fathers? A lot of the things that are in there, have I preached to you? Yes. Because wisdom is wisdom. I don't care who said it, where it came from, or when it was said. It's what's important. Jesus told us to do two things. There was two commandments. What are they? And love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's it. Okay? But yet love requires sacrifice. And love can be rejected. But does that mean you stop loving? No. But even Jesus went through this too on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? For God so loved the world. Well, if God can love the world that way, can we love the world that way? Sure, we can. And you know, folks, is it important? Yes. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today with praise and worship and love. And Lord, we know that you return that love tenfold to us. Lord, we appreciate everything you do for us, and we know that you're not going to leave us in the lurch, and that you will help us in our time of need. Lord, in your mercy.